Actually, your name was given as your character. Jacob was liar, cheat, aptly named Jacob. Moses, one that was pulled out of the water. Names speak profoundly about the integrity and the character of the person in the Bible. Even in the olden days, Alexander the Great, you know, King Richard the Lionheart. They all had names because they determined something within them. You've been given a name. Amen. Thank God we've been named by God afresh. Amen. Hallelujah. You have a new name. Amen. I'm not determined by what someone else labeled me as. He's given me a new name. I'm going to share two scriptures this morning. We're going to go through the names. Amen. I've got to use this thing because I forgot to send myself my notes to print out. So someone graciously taught me how to make sure it doesn't turn off. So let's read together, shall we? Hey? I feel I'm in touch with this younger generation doing this. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 23. Matthew 1, 18 to 23, and it says this: Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. The birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. He didn't want to embarrass the woman. He didn't understand the situation. You got to understand, in those days there was great shame when a young woman was pregnant and she wasn't married. In fact, it could have cost her a life. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son. No scans in those days. Declared a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. And so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, actually, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. We're going to camp there for a minute. Emmanuel, God with us. One of the first things the Lord wants to make sure that we understand is this: God is with us. Whether you're in a good place, a bad place, an up place, a down place, an in place, an out place, whatever place you're in, he's with you. My Bible says he never leaves me nor forsakes me. He never leaves me. But if I'm not experiencing him, am I in the right place with him? I want to tell you this morning, your God wants to make room for in your life, in our life, my life, to be with us in every facet of my life. He wants to be in the little trivial stuff. He wants to be in the bigger stuff. He wants to be in your decisions. He wants to be in your walk. He wants you to commune with him. He is showing and expressing his love by declaring it to himself. He is your Emmanuel. He is your God with us. Amen. Turn with me to Isaiah 9 and 6. Isaiah 9 and 6 says this: For unto us a child is born. Say child. Child. A child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government or the authority, power, might, and dominion shall be upon his shoulders. Unto who? Unto us. Unto us. Unto us a child is born. He's trying to communicate something. He's coming, he wants to communicate something that is for us. Amen. He's for us. He's God with us. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Here's some names of the Father. Here's some names of the Son. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the peace that is with God, the peace that is from God, the peace that is of God. The three types of peace. Amen. With God, from God, of God. God wants, no matter where you're at, he can minister peace to your situation. He can minister peace to your soul because he is a God that is with you. Amen. The child is born. The child is born. Unto us a child is born. The child was born to save you. The child was born to bring salvation to you and I. I think it's in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. There's no other name which man can be saved through except for the name of Jesus. He was born to save you. Unto us a son is given. The son is given to die for you. The son is given to die for you. He was born a child so he could experience everything you experience, in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. He came in the flesh, not that he had to come in the flesh. He wanted to overcome everything that was tempting our flesh so all things could be subject to him, and he could then empower you to walk the walk you needed to walk. He could then equip you, and he could comfort me, and he could deliver me from those points. He doesn't go through every situation that I go through, but the main points of what I go through, he's done. Amen. For instance, he never experienced adultery, he never experienced sexual immorality, he never experienced anything like that, but in all points he was tempted. Hallelujah. Yet without sin. Are you with me this morning? The child was born to save, the son was given to die and redeem and set me free from the law of sin and death. That's the whole purpose. This is a great example of the Father loving on us, sending the most precious, perfect sacrifice into the world on your behalf and on my behalf, that I might be delivered from the power of sickness, sin, and death. Hallelujah. The perfect fiscal Lamb of God, the perfect example of one that was going to give his life for you and I, and forever lives, never has to sacrifice it again, forever before the Father, interceding on your on my behalf and your behalf before the Lord. This is this Jesus who came to the earth as a baby for salvation, becoming a son that he might die for you and I. Hallelujah. Matthew 11, 28 says this, "Come unto me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." All rest is found in him. The rest that is from God. The rest that is with God. The rest that is of God. No Jesus, no peace. I'll say that again. No Jesus, no peace. You can have fleeting peace. You can have momentary peace. The world can have momentary peace. But the minute someone crosses them, just look at Iran and Russia. The minute someone crosses their thinking, something comes in their mind, they will break peace. Your God will not break peace with you. Hallelujah. Names are very important to God. Genesis 1, 5, 8, and 10. God called and he named the day light. Let there be light. And there was light. He named it light. The next thing, he started naming the trees and he started naming the expanse. He called it sky, separated the expanse, and he called one the sky or the heavens. And then there was evening and morning, and the second day, and God called the ground, dry ground, land. He named things. The first thing that Adam did when he was called, the first thing job God gave Adam was name the animals. He named things. One of the privileges you and I have, if you're married and you have a family and you've got children, is you named them children. You name them. Amen. Here's the dilemma. Sometimes we name them things we shouldn't name them. Someday you beep. Oh, you shouldn't do that. You doot. And all of a sudden we start naming people. Oh, my wife. Oh, my wife naming me. Right?
Never.
Oh, come on. Be real,
never.
Girl. Never. In your dreams. You were Joseph. He had a dream. Anyway, we name things. Amen? The problem is if that person gets named and it allows space in their heart and they take on board hopelessness or they take on board worthlessness or whatever those names we might have said untoward or in a moment of anger, we have to correct that thing immediately. Repent to them and rename them and constantly name them what they can be, what God sees them as, not what they're doing in their now moment, but what God has spoke to their future about. Amen? God always speaks to your future. Naming. Isaac, his name means laughing. Jacob, his name means deceiver. Moses means drawn out. Jabez, in 1 Corinthians, actually means sorry. Names have meaning. Names have meaning. God called us by name. He has meanings. And if it's the wrong name for you, He will rename you. Glory to God. The name of Jesus means Jehovah saves, or the Lord saves. Acts 4 and 2 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to man by which one must be saved. No other name. Praise God. In fact, the name Jesus is coming from the Hebrew word Joshua, or Yeshua. Before it was Yeshua, it was Yehoshua, with an O instead of an E. And it literally means this, I am. I am God. So when Jesus declared before Abraham was, I am, he was actually declaring his own name. That's why the people of the day, the Pharisaical people of the day, was angry with God, with anger with Jesus, because he was saying to them, I am God. I am God. Hallelujah. Philippians 2 and 10 says, for the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. He is the representation of the Godhead bodily on earth. Jesus Christ is Lord. We call him the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Father, Jesus Son, Christos Spirit. He is the incarnate fullness of the body of the Godhead in him. Amen. And if you have Jesus in you, the Godhead dwells in you bodily. Hallelujah. There's a wonder in his name. And in Isaiah 9 and 7, wonderful counselor, mighty God. Hallelujah. Wonderful. His name is wonderful. We should be celebrating his name, not what he hasn't done for us, but celebrating who he is all the time. Wonderful. He's my counselor. He's my attorney. He's the one that will counsel me in the midst of my problems. He has an ear to hear my situation, no matter what the time of day it is. He is my counselor. He's the one that's got the wisdom to set me free. He's the one that's got the wisdom. He's the one that's got the capacity to hear my heart and hear the understanding of my heart and deliver me from my situation. He mightn't take me out of the situation, but he will counsel me enough to give me the wisdom, whether to get through it, whether to overcome it, but he will give me the wisdom required for the situation I'm in, because he is my counselor. Hallelujah. Too many Christians want deliverance, but a lot of times God will want to walk you through your situation to grow you and mature you to become a son. Glory to God. Wonderful counselor. Mighty God. He's a mighty God. Turn with me to Revelations. Revelations 1 and 8. He's a mighty God, but he's almighty. Amen. There's no shortage of his might and power and strength. He is almighty. Who believes that this morning? He is absolutely everything. There is no one like him. There's no one to compare to him. There's no one higher than him. He is God, almighty, all by himself. Revelations 1 and 8 says, I am the Alpha, the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and was and is to come. What? The Almighty. He is the Almighty God. When he is not just mighty, he is the Almighty God himself. And Almighty God has called you by name, and you can call in him as your counselor, as your advocate, as your intercessor, as your attorney, whatever it is in the courts, whatever you need to have. Your God is for you and with you. He is with us. Do you believe that this morning? There is a confidence knowing your God is with you. There's a confidence and a rest and a peace that your God is with you. No matter what the storm of life you're facing, no matter what situation you're in, he has the wisdom to see you through. Amen. Glory. Everlasting Father. Jesus says this, you have seen me, you've seen the Father. Hallelujah. For me and my Father are one. Glory to God. Your Father loves you. He's an everlasting Father. He changes not. He doesn't swap and change and just if he's in a mood or anything like that, or you've done something wrong, he doesn't say, well, I'm not going to love you this week. You have to repent and you've got to pay penance. And when you do all that, maybe I'll love on you again. He doesn't say any of that. He doesn't say, well, you're screwed up and I'm not going to trust you today. He doesn't say things like that. He doesn't say things like that. In fact, my Bible teaches me that his heart is so open towards me, I can hurt him. You and I, if you're a Christian and born again here this morning, you and I have the power to hurt God. Ezekiel says this, I think it's 6, chapter 6, says this, my heart was crushed, the Father talking, because of your idolatrous ways. I have the power to hurt him. Yet his love, even in his hurt, changes not. I have the power, and that's where we get these terminologies, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord is not fear the judgment of God. Fear the Lord is this, that you love him so much, you don't want to hurt him. It's crazy for a husband and a wife to willfully, wantingly desire to hurt their spouse. Crazy thought. To willfully want to be hurting their spouse. Does it mean my spouse can hurt me? Yes. Does it mean I can hurt her? Yes. But in the midst of that hurt or that pain or that let down or that lack of trust, there is a love of commitment one to another that will see me through the pain. Too many people today say things like this, we're incompatible. I want to talk about this for 1 minute. Even Christian marriages, when you get married, you're incompatible. You really don't know that person unless you live with that person. So when I was infatuated with my wife, and I'd ring her up, and 3 hours later, I used to say, you're still there? Yeah. What are you doing? Oh, nothing. But you're happy just to stay there. Infatuation. That infatuation covered multitudes of sin. Works both ways. You're all laughing because you know it's the truth. But what happens is then you start living with one another and you start then to love one another. Love that covers faults. Love is not an emotion. Love is a commitment. Love can have emotion and it should have emotion. But it is not the sign of love. Love is a commitment, one to another. Love is a commitment so much, just like Jesus was nailed on the cross. You will crucify your flesh and you will crucify yourself to stay in love with that person. Hello. That's the truth of the matter. Does sometimes my wife hurt me? Better believe it. The sometime I've hurt my wife? Lots. Lots of times. Have I done the wrong thing? Lots of times. Has she done the wrong thing? More times. No. Not really. There was this man who died. It's a joke. And his wife wrote, "Rest in peace," on his tombstone. Then she found out that she wasn't in the will. So then she added, "Rest in peace till I see you again. You'll get it later." "Rest in peace till I see you again." She's going to beat him up and dead. But there is something that goes beyond the feelings and the emotions when you fall in love. Amen. Jesus doesn't show his love just because I'm doing good. Jesus just doesn't love me because I'm doing well. Jesus loved me while I was yet a sinner. Hallelujah. So when someone's not doing the right thing, anyone not done the wrong thing? Anyone? Anyone not mucked up? Anyone not mucked up at all? Praise the Lord. Everlasting Father. Our Father is a life giver. He has given me his nature. There is something about this title called the Prince of Peace. He rules over things. He's the king over it. He's the peacemaker. He's the one that can call you to himself and everything else just will fade into nothingness. You can have peace in the midst of your storm. You can have peace. Amen. In fact, it's as necessary, one of the most necessary things in a Christian's walk is to have peace. Because it's the peace of God that will guard your heart and your mind. The minute you lose your peace, your mind is open to attack. The minute you lose your peace, your heart is open to attack. I've got to keep my peace at all costs. No matter what that cost is, I must keep my peace. Amen. Doesn't matter about the storm on the outside. What I can't afford to happen is have a storm on the inside to rob me of my peace. Amen. This wonderful counselor, this mighty God, this Emmanuel, this God that is with us, was born on a day that we celebrate as Christmas, and he has come to set the captive free. He has come to stay with you no matter what your problem is and see you through your problem and situation, no matter what that is, and give you the wisdom, the counsel of the Spirit to lead you and guide you into the life he wants for you and your house. That's what Christmas is. It ain't a present, and it's certainly not Cadbury's. Amen? Though those things sometimes help. But we can't afford to forget the reason for the season, and it's Jesus. Amen? Almighty God, wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace. Unto us a child is born. We're celebrating that Christmas. Easter will celebrate unto us the Son is given. Amen. One that knew he was born to die for you and I. That is love. That is peace. Hallelujah. That is Christmas. That is the Christmas message. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Glory. One of the greatest battles society and church has got today is there is a spirit operating in minority groups that the world and the governments of the world are listening to. And what it is doing, it is robbing people of their identity. It is trying to rename your children. It is trying to rename your children's children. where they don't know whether they're a he, she, it, maybe, could be, what it, they don't know what they are. Allowing 6- and 7-year-old children to make decisions that can affect them for life. Robbed of their innocence. Robbed of their innocence. And it's time we as the church get a conviction in our heart to say, no, you will not name my child. He's named after what I call him. Amen. And if they don't like it, tough. There is no way I would allow anyone to rename my child a girl. There is no way if my little grandson came home and he says, I want to be a she today, just let it pass by. I would sit down with them and I would speak truth and love to them. Absolutely. And allow them to understand that they might have to make a stand regardless of what's around them. And they've got my full support and attention. The world needs to see the church arise in this hour like never before. You have an identity. And no way in the world am I going to let my grandchildren or my great-grandchildren, my great-great-grandchildren, if I'm still living, great-great-grandchildren be inflicted with this cursed thing that they say is freedom. I say it's a curse. I say it's a curse. And society needs people to stand up in this hour. And if they don't know who they are, tell them who they are. Tell them who they are. Amen. Glory to God. Are you with me? We're living in an hour and a day that we have to stand. And doing all to stand, we've got to keep standing. The minute you bend with this stuff is the minute they lose identity. Hallelujah. And no one has the right to name my child but me. No one. Glory to God. I don't care about political correctness. I'm sorry if you're listening on TV land. I don't give a hoot about your political correctness. What I do care about is the correctness of the Spirit. Amen. Speak to them. Tell them who they are. Tell them they're great young men and great young women. Let them be princesses and let them be young, strong men. Amen. When they fall over, let them fall over. Tell them to pick themselves up. Get on with life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for our Christmas celebration. We thank you, you're the reason for the season. And Lord, we refuse to be named, tagged, or shadowed, Father, by anything of this world. We thank you, we've been named by you and you alone. And Lord, we carry your name on our hearts. And Lord, let that gospel that has been placed and written upon our hearts, Father, that testimony, that new book that you want to write in each man's heart, Lord, be echoed and shared and declared, Father, Lord, as a gospel of God. That, Lord, that you are Christ, you are Lord, and no one is like you and no one can compare to you. There is none other but Jesus Christ our Lord. And we thank you for that. Father, we thank you for the gift that you've placed within us. We thank you for the gift that you gave us. Lord, let us be always remember of your wonder, the wonder of our God and our King and our Lord, that we would celebrate you daily, that, Father, our mouth would be full of your word and your truth. Lord, in the name of Jesus, that my God will be infectious to this infected world. In Jesus' name, amen. He's a good God. He's a good God who does good things. He's a God that might do what you want him to do, but it's still good. It's impossible for him to be bad. It is good. Amen. So if sometimes when you ask God for something and he doesn't answer, you don't need it. You don't need it. He'll only give you the things you need. Amen. But are you going to still call him wonderful? Are you going to still call him your counselor? Your mighty God, your Prince of Peace? Amen. God bless you. Please have a great, successful, wonderful week. And please have a family time together. Love on each other. And I just want to say thank you, ladies, again, for a great day you've given us this morning in our worship time, in our celebration time. God bless you. and stay safe in Jesus' name. Amen. We have not got service next Sunday. It's Christmas next Sunday. I would want you to be with your family. Amen. Hallelujah. Be with your family. We will be here on New Year. Amen. And we will have some vision sharing on Sunday, following Sunday. God bless you. Have a great week, wonderful week, and a Merry Christmas to every one of you.